Rebecca left to meet Ashton. No way. We're staying through dinner. The food is paid for, and it will be fun. Plus, we wouldn't want to not use the Becca Plus 1 and Plus 2 place settings.
She looked at the huge crowd of strangers, the stunning bride and Terrence carefully avoiding looking in her direction. I'm not sure fun really describes it.
Servers began to file out with huge trays of salads. Lucas grabbed her hand and pulled her toward their back corner table. It turned out that Becca wasn't the only one to cut and run. Of the 8 place settings at the table, only one other couple showed up, and they sat on the opposite side, so conversation with them was impossible.
Lucas smiled. See, it's fine. There will be plenty of food. Come on. We'll have a good time.
You're insisting on looking at the bright side. Why is that?
I have a sunny nature.
She laughed, then settled in the chair he held out. All right. I suppose Terrence owes me a good meal or two.
Was he a jerk during the divorce?
Lucas angled toward her, as if he were really interested in the answer to the question. A server came by and filled their wine glasses before moving on. She picked up the glass of red and took a sip.
It's very nice. You should try it.
I will when you answer the question.
Fine. He wasn't a total jerk during the divorce. No more than the average man trying to get free of a marriage and pay the least he could. She glanced toward the head table and watched as Terrence picked up his bride's hand and kissed her palm. I worked to put him through podiatry school, she said, turning her attention back to Lucas. We were married, and I was really sure we would be the perfect couple. But a lot of people in my life more than hinted he was using me to pay for his education, and that he would dump me when he got a good job.
Including your mother?
Are you kidding? My mother was thrilled that I was marrying a doctor. I was young and scared, and instead of talking to him about marriage and my concerns, I panicked.
Lucas picked up Becca's place card. You got pregnant.
That I did. I don't know if Terrence figured it out or what. We'd agreed to wait to start our family until he was settled in his practice, but instead there was a surprise. Becca was born, and I stayed home with her and started turning into my mother. I thought everything was fine.
She tried to remember the last time she'd told this story. Obviously, her sister knew the truth, and Harper had shared the bare bones with her mother, but no one else. It was too shameful, too humiliating.
I wonder if that's where our marriage started to fall apart, she murmured, that deception. When I was ready to have another baby, I couldn't get pregnant. When I told Terrence I wanted us to see a specialist, he admitted he'd had a vasectomy, without telling me.
She willed herself not to think about anything but the words themselves. If she got caught up in the meaning, if she remembered how shocked and betrayed she'd felt, she would cry or scream or do something that wouldn't look good at a wedding.
Lucas stared at her.
He's a dick.
She laughed. Thanks for that. I was devastated. We went into counseling and tried to put the pieces back together. It worked for a while.
Servers came by with their entrees.
Lucas ignored his as he continued to study her.
Did he cheat? Is that what ended things?
He did. I want to tell you that I was strong and together and kicked him out, but I didn't. I crumbled. And then he left. She picked up her fork, then put it down. I was a mess. I had never really worked, not since Becca was born. I was in no way prepared to be on my own. That's what I hated the most, being so helpless and dependent. I wanted to be stronger than that.
She grimaced.
I don't expect you to get that. You've taken care of yourself your whole life, but it wasn't like that for me. I was raised to be so damned traditional.
At least you can blame your mother for that part of it.
She laughed. One of my few victories.
Speaking of which, how are things with Bunny?
She appreciated the change in subject. Even though she would rather die than admit it, I think she's doing really well. I've dropped by a couple of times. She's always too busy for me and does her best to make me feel guilty. It's a great combination for her.
You have to admire her consistency.
The lights dimmed as the bride and groom got up to dance. Lucas leaned close and lowered his voice.
You've got it together now. You're successful with your business, and you have your first employee.
Dean is amazing. He's so creative, and we work well together. She smiled at him. Don't worry. I promise not to be sad and introspective. I know that I've been very lucky, and I'm grateful for that. She held up her hand before he could speak. I know there was hard work involved as well. I've learned from my mistakes, and I've done my best to do better each time.
If the rest of you would like to join the bride and groom on the dance floor...
The voice came over the loudspeakers. Harper was prepared to go on about how she was taking advantage of her opportunities, mostly so Lucas wouldn't start to feel sorry for her, but before she could say anything, he stunned her by standing and holding out his hand.
Shall we?
Shall we what? His smile was oddly sexy and appealing.
Dance.
She glanced over her shoulder, half expecting to see a 22-year-old standing behind her. With me? You do realize I just turned 42, right? I'm already taking calcium supplements. In 23 years, I'll be eligible for Social Security.
Shut up,
he said conversationally, and pulled her to her feet. They walked to the dance floor, where he drew her against him. Somehow one of her hands was locked with his, while her fingers rested on his shoulder. His other hand settled on her waist. Even more stunning, they were standing incredibly close together. This is so confusing, she admitted, although I'm not going to complain. It's the most action I've had in years. She half expected him to recoil at her words. Instead, he laughed and eased just a little closer until they were touching. What? No. What? She wondered if she'd had more wine or champagne than she'd realized. Was she drunk? Was Lucas actually dancing with her, their bodies swaying together? Are you on any medication? She asked before she could stop herself.
You're not a restful person. I never noticed that before.
Oh, please. I'm an adult woman. That's what you can't get over. He looked into her eyes, then shocked the crap out of her by leaning close and lightly brushing her mouth with his. Under any other circumstances, she would have sworn he'd just kissed her. But he couldn't have. This was Lucas. He liked them young and fresh and malleable, and she was none of those things. Did you just...
Yes.
His green eyes were bright with amusement. On purpose? You didn't slip?
I didn't slip.
I'm surprised and wary. He tilted his head back and laughed. The sound made her happy, so she smiled at him, then rested her head on his shoulder as they swayed together for the rest of the dance. Chapter 22 Kit lasted until nearly 2 in the morning. Finally, he stood and stretched, then glanced at Becca and Ashton, who were stretched out together on the sectional.
I'm exhausted, he admitted, then hesitated, as if actually seeing them.
His expression sharpened.
And you two are going to stay up all night.
Becca could see him working out the situation and had a bad feeling that he knew exactly what she was hoping would happen. Okay, not hoping exactly. Or wishing. The thought of taking things that far terrified her, but she also knew that if she did it, then she and Jordan could be friends again and she would fit in. Even as she thought all that, she heard a voice in her head laughing, asking, "Really?" in a super sarcastic tone. Ashton scrambled to his feet and faced his uncle.
"Nothing's going to happen," he told Kit. "You have my word."
Becca felt herself blushing. She couldn't believe what he'd said. Nothing was going to happen? What was up with that? Why did everything she read or saw in the movies talk about how guys were only after one thing? What was wrong with her? Why didn't he want to do that with her? Was she too ugly? Did he know she was a virgin and think she was stupid or figure it would be so bad as to not be worth it? Her eyes burned with tears as Ashton offered his uncle his hand. The two men shook. Then Kit called out,
"Good night,"
before heading for the bedroom he shared with Stacy. Ashton turned back to face her.
"You're probably wondering why I said that."
"I don't have to wonder." She stood and shoved her feet into her shoes. "I need to get home. It's really late and I don't want to stay over." Not with someone who didn't want her. He didn't want to do that. He'd... The world went blurry and she realized she was crying, which only made things worse. Now he would know she was completely desperate and awful, and she just wanted to die, and... Ashton pulled her close and held her tight.
"You're a lot of things, Becca, but easy isn't one of them.
Let me go."
"Not until we talk. Please look at me."
She sniffed and raised her head. He groaned before wiping away her tears, then kissing her.
"I don't want you to leave, and I figured Kit was about 5 seconds from taking you home."
He gave her a lopsided smile.
He's a very responsible adult.
So you were lying?
Did she sound too hopeful? Sorry, no, I wouldn't do that. The thing is...
He brushed her hair back and kissed her.
The thing is, we're not ready. We're still getting to know each other. I like that we're taking it slow. Don't you?
Yes, but guys are supposed to want that, no matter what. Why don't you want me?
His hazel gray eyes darkened with emotion. Is that what you think? She nodded without speaking. It was all too humiliating. Becca, I know what it's like to make a mistake. I know what it's like to have regrets. I don't want that for you. I like you a lot. I want us to keep seeing each other. You're the best girlfriend I've ever had. This is amazing, so I don't want to screw it up. Please believe me.
Girlfriend? He said she was his girlfriend? All the tension left her body and she sagged against him. So we're like a couple?
Is that what you got from what I said?
It's the most important part.
He chuckled. Okay, we're a couple. If you want us to be.
I do want that.
Me too.
He kissed her.
I want you. You have no idea. And yes, that is all guys think about. But you're worth more than that. When we do make love, I want it to be special and amazing, and because we're both ready. Agreed?
Agreed. He released her and dropped to the sofa, then pulled her down next to him. She snuggled close and breathed in the scent of him. Her anxiety was gone, as was her fear. No matter what, Ashton would take care of her. Always. Harper let herself enjoy the wine and champagne-induced buzz. Tomorrow she would be responsible and run around like a crazy person, but for tonight it was so nice to relax in her car and let someone else take charge. She and Lucas had stayed through the cake cutting. They'd danced several more times, although he hadn't kissed her again, which was fine with her. One brief almost kiss was plenty. Later she would fantasize that he'd wanted her desperately but was too overwhelmed to act, or whatever. But for this night, the conversation, the laughter, and the dancing had been wonderful. He pulled into her driveway and turned off the engine.
Here you are, safe and sound.
Thanks for driving, she said as she got out of her SUV. I really enjoyed that second glass of wine.
And the third?
She grinned. That was good, too. He walked her to her front door. Lucas used her keys to let them in. She walked into the silent, dark house. Becca was at Stacy's, her mother was gone, so there was only going to be her in the house tonight. Only one plate at the table, she murmured, petting Jazz and Thor as they came to greet them. That was what it would be when Becca left for college, just her rattling around in this big house.
What are you talking about? Lucas asked as he flipped on the hall lights.
Thor walked over to him and gave his hand a quick lick before he and Jazz retreated back to the living room. Things always change, Harper waved at him. Ignore me. I'm fine. Really.
She took the keys and tossed them on the entryway table, then dropped her small clutch next to them.
She was going to get into her PJs, wash her face, and sleep very, very late tomorrow, she told herself. She turned back to Lucas. Thank you again for keeping me company tonight. I had a good time.
He studied her intently.
She wasn't sure what he was thinking, probably that she looked old in the harsh overhead light. Or maybe he was wishing football season would start. With guys, you just never knew. What she didn't expect was for him to take a step toward her, hold her upper arms in his large hands, and kiss her, really kiss her, with lips and tongue and an intensity that made her toes curl in her incredibly painful sandals. She was so shocked, she almost didn't notice the heat that kiss generated. Then tingles exploded, along with longing and need and swelling and... She drew back and stared at him. What on earth are you doing?
I would have thought that was obvious.
Yes, you were kissing me, but why?
You have to ask.
Apparently. She did a fast rewind of their evening. Is this about my marriage ending and everything I told you? Is this a mercy kiss? Because honestly, I just can't take that.
He glared at her. Next time you ask me why I date women in their early 20s, remember this moment. It perfectly illustrates why.
He was so close and so good-looking, she thought hazily. The lingering effects of his kiss were making it hard to concentrate on anything but the way her breasts ached. She hadn't had sex in so long,
She was pretty sure she was practically a virgin. Wouldn't it be nice to have a penis again? Even if it was just for the night.
I really have to start dating, she muttered. She looked at Lucas. Men like younger women, right? I mean, look at you.
So what? A guy in his 60s.
She shuddered. I should probably go visit my mother more. Imagine how sexy I'll look to the men around there.
It's just so depressing to think about, though.
She started to step out of her shoes. Before she could finish the job, Lucas put his hand on her arm.
No, he said firmly. You're not having sex with a man in his 60s. You're having sex with me.
He shrugged.
If you want to.
She nearly fell over. You can't be serious.
No.
There is no way. My God, I've had a child. Do you know what that does to a woman's body? Plus, those girls you date are perfect and I'm not. No thanks. I don't need that kind of judgment in my...
He drew her close and kissed her again. Against her will. Okay, not really. She melted into him. Her body just kind of found his and leaned in. His arms came around her, his tongue invaded her mouth, and she let herself feel. That was it. Just feelings of his lips and his hands. After a couple of seconds, she realized there was more. Much more. She jumped back and dropped her gaze.
Holy crap, you have an erection.
His expression was pained.
You really haven't been dating since the divorce, have you?
OMG, you want to have sex with me.
Yes, there were complications. Yes, this could be a huge mistake, but honestly, who cared? She grabbed his hand and started for her bedroom, only to come to a stop and spin toward him. I don't have condoms.
I do.
I haven't washed the sheets in 3 days.
Shocking, but I'll recover.
She bit her lower lip.
I'm not sure I remember how.
One corner of his mouth turned up.
I'm happy to reacquaint you with everything you need to know.
They had sex. Twice.
Harper lay awake at 5 in the morning, reliving what had happened and trying not to sigh like a schoolgirl. They'd gone into her bedroom and they'd done it.
Twice.
Lucas had been a skillful, slow-handed lover who had made her body sing with pleasure. Then he'd filled her until she'd had no choice but to come again. They'd gotten up for snacks, and in her kitchen he'd told her to sit on her countertop, and she had. Right there, her bare ass exactly where she rolled out her cookie dough. He'd gone down on her until she'd screamed loud enough to wake, well, anyone. Then they'd gone back to bed and he'd made love to her until she'd thought she would cry from the wonder of it. Now she lay in the dark, grinning like a fool. Happy, content, and not the least bit concerned about what would happen in the morning. She knew. They would get up, make small talk, and then he would leave. Before he walked out, she would tell him while she'd enjoyed the action, she had no illusions about her place in his life. She appreciated their night and expected nothing more. She was going to be mature, sophisticated, and unaffected. She would cherish the experience, even as she returned to her regularly scheduled life with no Lucas-based illusions, and she had to admit, she was damned proud of herself for her attitude. Stacy watched her sister carefully write out place cards for a bridal shower. Once she'd finished with the names, she applied a spray of tiny oblong glass beads to look like a flower, then dusted the whole thing with glitter. Stacy understood the concept of the shower, even if she'd never attended one in her life. She'd been living out of state when Harper had had hers. The friends, the party, all made sense, but the place cards.
You're judging, her sister said as she smiled without looking up from her work.
I don't get it either, but hey, they pay me and that's what counts. Stacy sat across from her at the kitchen table. Can I do anything to help? Harper passed her a blank card. See if you can put the flower on that. If you can, then sure. Use tweezers, she added. Otherwise, the glue gets on your fingers and gets on the card, and I'll have to start over. That eats into my slim profit margin. Stacy pulled the tray of glass beads close and studied the sample card before picking up a bead with the tweezers and putting a dot of glue on the back. She carefully put it in place before reaching for a second bead. Although she was happy to help her sister, she would rather be home, but that wasn't an option today. Kit and Ashton were painting the baby's room. Even though the paint was supposed to be low fume and very safe, Kit had insisted she leave,
so she'd driven Becca home and had asked Harper if she could stay for a few hours. Stacy supposed she could have gone into the lab, but it was a Sunday morning, and going into work would seem sad. One of the things she liked about her marriage was spending time with Kit. She liked how they were as a couple, and worried the baby would change that more than she wanted. Harper glanced over her shoulder, then looked at her sister. "Tell Kit thanks for talking to Ashton about the sex thing," she said quietly. "I got a text from Becca about 3:30 saying she knew I would worry, but that Ashton was bunking on the sofa and she was in his room by herself." Harper smiled. Apparently Kit was fairly stern, and Ashton gave his word that nothing would happen. "Oh," Stacy said, trying not to sound surprised. Kit hadn't mentioned that to her at all. "You know he's good with kids." "He is. All that training will be very helpful when he's a stay-at-home dad. Kit's a great guy." Her smile returned, along with some color in her cheeks. "It was difficult having her, gone last night, but probably good practice. College isn't that far away." Because Harper would miss her daughter. Stacy got the concept and wondered if she would ever bond with Jewel enough to miss her when she was gone. "Does Becca have any idea?" There was a single knock at the back door. Harper jumped and turned, her expression almost guilty, which didn't make any sense. Then the door opened and Bunny stepped into the kitchen. "Good morning," her mother said, sounding more determined than cheerful. Harper blinked a couple of times, as if confused by the visit. Or had she been expecting someone else? Stacy didn't always read the social cues correctly. "Mom?" Harper rose and hugged her. "What are you doing here? Did I know you were coming by? Can't a mother visit her daughters when she wants to?" She turned to Stacy. "Aren't you going to say something?" "Hi, Mom." She got up and hugged her, then straightened. Bunny carried a large tote to the counter and began unloading containers of food and baked goods. "How are you feeling?" she asked Stacy, eyeing her belly. "I see you're showing. Not that you wouldn't be, as far along as you are. I assume you're seeing your doctor regularly and eating right. There's a baby to think of." Harper lightly touched Stacy's arm. "Mom, stop." "Stacy knows what she's doing. She's eating what she should, doing prenatal yoga and following all the rules. You don't have to worry." "We're talking about my second granddaughter. It's my right to worry." Stacy looked from her mother to the food and back, as her sister seemed surprised to see Bunny as well. This wasn't a planned visit, which meant there was a reason. "How did you know I was here?" she asked, then shook her head as she figured out what had happened. "Never mind. Kit called you." "He did," her mother confirmed. "He said it was time for us to be a family again. He said a few things, and, well, I realized he was right." Harper leaned close and murmured, "You know, because a man said it, it must be true." "Harper Ray," her mother snapped. "Sorry, Mom." "You don't sound sorry." Harper grinned. "I can't help that. I'm just so happy to see you." Bunny studied her for a second, as if assessing the truth of that statement. "You girls have always been a handful. Mark my words, Stacy, you're going to find out what that means sooner rather than later." Harper moved to the island and started sorting through the food. "You brought enough for an army." "I thought we could have lunch together. Becca's home, isn't she?"
"She is, and I know she'll be happy to see you."
"Uh-huh." Bunny put her hands on her hips. "What is going on with you, Harper? You're smiling."
"I'm a happy person."
"No, something happened." Bunny's eyes narrowed. "You're keeping secrets."
"What about you, Mom? What secrets are you keeping?"
Stacy was stunned when Bunny flushed and turned away. "I have no idea what you're talking about." "Hooking up with the cute guys at the retirement home? I am your mother, young lady. You'll do well to remember that." Harper's grin was unabashedly cheeky. "Oh, Mom, good for you." Stacy couldn't tell if they were kidding or not. Was their mother dating, or was Harper just teasing? She returned to the table and continued gluing glass beads onto place cards. Bunny began emptying food containers into bowls and pots. She nodded at Stacy. "Wash your hands and set the table. Harper, where are your Memorial Day decorations? It's next week."
"I didn't put any out."
Bunny's eyes widened. "You can't be serious. Memorial Day is an important event to celebrate.
What could be more important than that?
Working for a living. Harper sighed. Mom, I love you, but no. I am focused on my work. Becca is fed and clothed and loved. As for the rest of it, I just don't have time.
Bunny muttered something under her breath, then turned to Stacy. Despite the fact that you hurt my feelings and I'm not over it, I'm prepared to be the bigger person.
She paused as if waiting for applause. All right, Stacy said cautiously.
I have to admit I expected a little more gratitude.
Mom, she has no idea what you're talking about, Harper told her.
Neither do I.
Oh, I suppose you're right. Fine.
I've decided that despite what happened and how you treated me, you're still my daughter.
She drew in a breath.
I will come stay with you for 2 weeks after the baby's born.
Okay, Stacy said slowly, wondering if there was more or if that was it.
You don't sound very pleased.
It's a generous offer, but I'll be home with Kit and the baby for the first 3 weeks.
Harper shook her head.
Stacy, honey, I'm sure that sounds like enough, but it's a newborn. Mom drives me crazy way more than she bugs you, but in this case, I say accept the offer and stock up on her favorite coffee.
Harper Ray! Bunny glared at her. I'm standing right here.
I know, Mom. That's why I was as polite as I was.
You're in a mood.
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm feeling especially good today. Harper turned to her sister. Newborns are wonderful and a little piece of hell.
Trust me, you're going to want all the help you can get.
She lowered her voice as if trying to keep Bunny from hearing, although with their mother standing right there, of course she could. Besides, I think this is a peace offering.
Harper, I swear, if I believed in spanking, I would take you over my knee right now.
Mom, I can so outrun you. Stacy glanced between them. She had to admit, their mother was right. Something had happened with Harper, although Stacy had no idea what. Instead of trying to figure it out, she smiled at Bunny. Thanks, Mom. Kit and I both appreciate your generous offer.
Bunny sniffed again. You're welcome. And Harper's right. You'll need to get some of my favorite coffee in the house. It's the least you can do.
Chapter 23.
After the slightly awkward but nonetheless heartening reconciliation between Stacy and Bunny, Harper finished her place cards, planned out her week, spoke to Misty, who was still flying high from the HBO success, and managed to not think about Lucas until she was safely alone in her room after watching Game of Thrones with Becca. She stood in the center of her room and stared at her bed. Where they'd done it. Yes, there were the other places, but the bed was somehow the most significant. Maybe because it was a bed that hadn't seen action in years. She hadn't changed the sheets, which meant when she slipped into them, she could almost smell the scent of his body. A nice reminder, but not one that solved her most pressing dilemma. What now? How did she act the next time she saw him? There'd been no morning after awkwardness because Lucas had been called into work to deal with a guy who'd been arrested. Lucas had explained something about an open case he was trying to crack, but honestly, she'd been too caught up in her post-coital afterglow to do more than smile and nod as he'd dressed, quickly kissed her, then left. But time had passed, and now they were going to be facing each other for the first time since their night of super-hot sex, and she had no idea how to behave. She wanted to be cool and mature. Emotionally mature, not old-looking. She wanted to smile, greet him as if nothing had happened, and move them quickly back to their normal relationship. Wishing for anything else was ridiculous and potentially pathetic. She didn't want that. So, no matter what, she would be totally calm and rational. The sophisticated woman who had had adult sex with an equally sophisticated man, and now they were both fine. It would be great. She was sure of it. Early the next morning, Harper found herself slightly less in control than she would have liked, and most of that was not her fault. The shipping company had lost Misty's new T-shirts. Paula had emailed that she needed to modify the place card order, and while she would be paying for the new cards, Harper just picked up 6 more hours of work, which was 6 more hours than she actually had. She was still on the phone with the shipping company when Becca came into the kitchen, Jazz at her heels. Mom, I finished the videos for the city.
Do you want to see them? I'm on the phone, but when I'm done threatening to kill people, I'd love to.
Becca glanced at the clock and shook her head.
I have to get to school, but tonight for sure? I promise.
Mrs. Szymanski?
The voice on the phone said.
I've located your order. It's in Albany.
Harper groaned. As in New York? Maybe she would get lucky and there was an Albany, Arkansas, because Misty and her show were in Little Rock.
I'm afraid so.
When does your client need the T-shirts? Today. She needs them today. Misty had a show that night.
Let me see what I can do.
Harper was slapped back on hold, where she did her best not to swear too loudly. Becca waved and mouthed goodbye. Harper tried to remember if she'd eaten breakfast or not, then told herself her daughter was of an age to take care of that herself. She always had spending money.
Mrs. Szymanski, I have good news. I was wrong about the T-shirts. They're in Little Rock after all.
That was fast, Harper muttered before she could stop herself.
I read the code wrong. They're at another hotel only a few miles away. I'm going to put you on hold again and see if I can get one of the drivers to deliver them this morning.
That would be great. She certainly didn't want to ask Misty to go pick them up. Not that Misty would complain, but still. It was her job to make sure Misty's travel was as smooth and effortless as possible.
All right, I found someone. He's going to get them now and have them delivered by 10:30 this morning.
Harper heard the front door open and close. Seconds later, Thor burst into the kitchen and rushed to her. She juggled greeting him with taking down the information from the delivery people. Seconds later, Lucas strolled into the kitchen. The man looked good. She felt her mouth go dry, while other parts of her did not. Her brain supplied perfect memories of what they'd done together, while her gut tied itself in knots and her heart fluttered.
"Morning,"
he said, then glanced at her headset. He lowered his voice.
"I have to get going. I'll see you later."
With that, he was gone. Harper continued to scribble information. When the call ended, she dropped her headset onto the kitchen table and groaned. 10 words. He'd said exactly 10 words. How was she supposed to interpret that? Was he okay with what they'd done? Disgusted? Ready to pretend it had never happened and move on? There was too little information. How was she supposed to obsess over anything if she didn't know anything? Not that a lack of specifics ever got in her way, but still, it was frustrating. Before she could really get into psychoanalyzing what had just happened, she glanced at the clock on the wall and shrieked. Dean would be here any second, and she wasn't ready. It took her 10 minutes to slap on basic makeup and change into her professional, let's meet a client outfit. Black pants, a brightly patterned shell, and a tailored black jacket. She slipped into her sensible pumps before racing by her office and grabbing her tote. Thank goodness she'd put everything in it yesterday, she thought, as she dashed to the front of the house, only to find Dean waiting by the front door.
Hurry, 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 he said with a smile. We are a tiny bit behind.
I know, and I'm sorry. Misty's T-shirts didn't get delivered, and I've been on the phone trying to find them.
Where are they?
Dean asked, as he backed out of her driveway. At first, they told me Albany, but now it turns out they're just across town, so they'll be delivered this morning. Honestly, I don't know how to make the T-shirt delivery more foolproof. If we ship too early, the hotel loses the package. If we trust the shipping company, stuff like this happens.
Sometimes you have to accept a flawed system.
That's hard for me, he chuckled.
I've noticed that.
They arrived at their destination 4 minutes before their meeting and went inside. The real estate office was large, with over 20 agents, most of whom were extremely successful. The Mischief Bay real estate market was booming, much like the L.A. market, and selling houses by the ocean was big business. Tanya Elliott was an attractive brunette with a warm smile. She led them to a small conference room and offered them coffee. When they were settled, she got right to the point. I need help, she began. I'm not interested in a full-time employee. It's too expensive, and the paperwork for payroll would make me crazy. I simply don't have time. I'm at that wonderfully awkward place in my career where I've got more business than I can handle, but not so much that I need a full-time employee.
Which is where we come in, Harper told her.
You mentioned help with designing flyers, keeping them stocked, along with entering the multiple listing information. Is that right? That would be a huge help. Dean pulled several flyers out of his briefcase.
These are samples of your flyers. Harper and I looked at several other agents' flyers in the area.
He winked.
including some with other firms.
The enemy, Tanya said with a laugh. I keep track of them, too. The three of them went over the various designs, and Harper explained a few modifications she and Dean had brainstormed. Tanya seemed excited about their suggestions and used the video screen on the wall to pull up a map of her current listings. We all have our sweet spot, she explained. The more you work in an area, the more people get to know your name and seek you out. Dean walked over to the screen and traced a route.
It would be easy for us to check flyer inventory regularly. What are you thinking? Daily for the first week, then every other day for 2 weeks. Assuming the house isn't sold by then, we'd move to just Mondays. After the weekend rush?
Tanya's eyes widened. I hadn't thought of a schedule being that organized, but it makes sense. That would be great.
Harper made notes. Once they'd agreed on the statement of work, she would send Tanya a contract.
What else could we do to help you? Ushering my listings through closings would be great, but you need training for that. Right now, handling, printing, and distributing the flyers and keeping the MLS up to date is plenty. She glanced between them.
I'm interested if you are.
We are, Dean told her.
I'll get you the contract today, Harper said as they rose and all shook hands. We can start tomorrow if that works for you.
That would be fantastic.
Thank you.
Harper and Dean walked back to his car. She waited until they were driving away to say, It's a great account. It could be a lot of hours, though.
Too many? He asked.
I don't think so, but it's sending us in a new direction. Real estate is big business. Tanya can't be the only agent who needs this kind of help. The idea of ushering a listing through closing is interesting.
Let me do some research on what's involved and how extensive the training is. Maybe it would be worth it to offer it as a service.
That's what I was thinking. He grinned. We share a great mind.
It's nice when we both use it.
She laughed. It is. If the escrow thing works out, we'd probably be looking at hiring more people to help with the other clients. Or we could have one person who focused on the closings.
As long as one of us was trained as well.
Right. So we wouldn't get stuck if our person was away. He held up his hand for a high five.
See, we're rocking and rolling now.
The day passed in a blur of activity. Dean left around 3 to pick up the twins, and Harper finished up the new place cards. While the work was slow and sometimes tedious, it paid well, she reminded herself, as she got up from her craft table, only to realize it was nearly 6 and she'd done absolutely nothing about dinner. Becca met her in the hallway.
Hey, Mom, can we talk about the videos now?
Harper started to put her off, then realized she'd been doing that a lot these days, too much, in fact. She saw Jazz hovering close by, as she always did.
Where's Thor? Lucas picked him up about an hour ago.
And he hadn't stopped by to see her? What did that mean? Was he upset? Avoiding her? What was she supposed to think? Or, Mom, the videos? Jazz whined in the back of her throat.
Harper told herself she was healthy, successful in the tiniest of ways, and she'd had great sex in the past 48 hours. She should shut up and be grateful and deal with what mattered most.
Did you feed Jazz? She asked.
Becca rolled her eyes.
Of course I did. I feed her every day.
Then you're a better mom than me, because I totally forgot about dinner.
Tell you what, let's go get Chinese for dinner, and while we're at the restaurant, you can show me what you've done.
Becca relaxed.
That would be great. I have the videos loaded on my laptop. Dean said they were good, but I don't know if they're exactly what you were thinking.
Dean had seen them? Harper held in a groan.
Was everyone better at parenting than her?
She would change that, she told herself, as she went to collect her purse while her daughter tucked her laptop into her backpack. Starting right this second, she would figure out how to do it all or die trying. Okay, not die, exactly, but close.
Becca sat in her usual place on the front steps with Jazz and Thor next to her. Lucas was due for another driving lesson, and she was excited to get in the hours. She was so close to getting her license. Lucas pulled up and waved at her, then got out of his car.
"How's it going?" he asked as he approached.
Both dogs raced over to greet him.
Becca grinned. "It's going great. I did the videos for my mom, and she loved them. She's going to pay me for my time, which means I'm already saving for my car insurance."
She wanted to point out other ways she was being responsible, but wasn't sure how without sounding pathetic and needy. She also wanted to tell him that she was really trying, but he'd want proof. Lucas was like that. He was always there for her, but he sure had high expectations. He looked at her.
Good to know you're planning on paying for your car insurance. What about your paper for history? Is that done?
No, but I'm working on it.
So you don't have a B in that class?
Not right now.
Okay, then we're done.
What?
Shriek all you want, he told her as he whistled for Thor. You know the rules. You broke them, and now there are consequences.
You can't do that. Thor ran out. Lucas led him to the car. When Thor was buckled into the front seat, Lucas turned back to face Becca.
I just did, kid. You think you aren't treated like an adult. Maybe if you acted like one, you wouldn't have that problem. Let me know when you turn in your paper, and I'll take you driving. Until then, find someone else.
I hate you, she yelled as he drove away. Lucas only waved. Becca sank back on the step and put her head on her raised knees. He's being totally unfair, she told her dog. He's mean and selfish, and I really do hate him. Jazz's steady gaze seemed to make it clear that she knew Becca was lying. Becca sighed. Okay, maybe I don't hate him exactly, but why do I have to always do the right thing? She already knew the answer, and shifted so she could hug her dog. Growing up sucks, she muttered. Just so you know. Jazz sighed in agreement. The birthing class was the nightmare Stacy had expected. She'd tried to convince Kit that she didn't need to go. She'd read dozens of articles online, including several written by doctors and birthing professionals, and understood what was going to happen, but he insisted they needed to go to a class, just like other couples. She'd endured a morning of lectures and videos. The afternoon would start with exercises on breathing and mindful relaxation to aid in the birthing process. A boxed lunch was provided. Stacy picked up the sandwich made with whole grain bread and what she assumed was organic cheese and unprocessed sliced turkey. They sat at a table with another couple. Both of them were in their 20s, as were most of the women in the class. A handful were much younger, but there was no one Stacy's age. Their instructor was a gray-haired Earth Mother type, who wore a long flowing dress and spoke in what Stacy assumed was supposed to be a soothing tone. Everything about the class annoyed her, even the stupid sandwich. She tossed it down and wished she could simply leave. Kit caught her gaze and winked. His moment of attention relaxed her enough so that she could pay attention to the conversation at their table. It wasn't anyone's fault that she was crabby, she told herself. She would endure the next 3 hours, and then she would never have to do this again. "We're having a boy," one of the pregnant women said. Stacy knew she'd introduced herself, but there was no way she could remember her name.
"A girl for us," Kit said. "We're calling her Jewel."
The woman frowned. "After the singer?"
"No."
Stacy tried not to grind her teeth. "J-O-U-L-E. It's a measure of work or energy. It's the amount of force one newton." She saw Kit shaking his head and sighed. "It's scientific."
"Oh, that's nice. A pretty name with a different spelling. A lot of people are doing that. We really like the name Brandon, but so many people are using that."
She smiled at her husband.
"We've been getting a lot of pressure to name him Fred, after his great-grandfather. But that is so not happening. Fred? Really?"
The woman laughed. Stacy glanced longingly toward the door. When lunch was done, the couples returned to their large classroom. Tables and chairs had been pushed aside, and thick mats were arranged in a circle. Stacy wanted to question the wisdom of feeding pregnant women, then asking them to get on the floor, but no one was interested in her opinion. She glanced at the clock. 2 hours and 47 minutes.
"Let's get started with some breathing," Aaron, their instructor, said. "Lean into your partner and feel your breath expanding in your lungs and down to your belly."
Aaron,
one of the youngest mothers-to-be raised her hand.
"Does the breathing really help with the pain?"
"Of course it does.
But if it's really bad, I can take something, can I?"
Aaron hesitated just long enough for everyone to get the subliminal message of how wrong that would be.
"You can, but it's better for the baby if you don't."
The pregnant teenager looked crushed.
"I'm just worried about being able to, you know, get through it."
"Women have been giving birth for thousands of years. You'll be fine."
The teen didn't look convinced. But if I really need it... Aaron's warm expression hardened. If you go into the process with that attitude, it's not going to go well. You have to have faith.
Oh, stop it, Stacy snapped before she could help herself. Why do you do this? Why do you insist on women's suffering? As if that in any way helps with the birthing process. Not every natural act is easy or comfortable. A heart attack is completely natural, but no one wants one of those. Why on earth would you promote suffering when there are safe and easy solutions to the problem? You may not want to go in that direction, but you don't have the right to decide for everyone else. Stacy turned to the teen. With a spinal, the amount of chemical that gets into the bloodstream is incredibly small. Many studies suggest it's far better for the mother to be relaxed and comfortable when delivering her baby. Being exhausted, screaming in pain, doesn't help anyone. The chemicals secreted by the body from pain and fear are also delivered to the baby. Aaron's mouth fell open. Who do you think you are saying things like that? I'm the teacher here. I'm a scientist who works with human DNA to find a cure for neurological diseases. So don't try to convince me I don't know what I'm talking about. Aaron pressed her lips together. I see, she said tightly, then glanced toward the teen. I suppose if the pain is too much, it wouldn't be awful to take something. The girl relaxed. Thank you. Behind her, Stacy felt Kit's chest moving. She turned and saw he was chuckling. You're not mad? He leaned in and kissed her.
Mad? Nah, I'm impressed. I think you just earned your first badge as a tiger mom. Jewel's lucky to have you on her side.
Stacy kissed him back, then returned her attention to Aaron's instruction. Maybe the class wasn't going to be so bad after all.
Chapter 24
I did the background check on your potential renter, Lucas said. She's squeaky clean. No arrests, only 2 speeding tickets. And neither of those are in the past 5 years. You did the credit check?
Harper appreciated the information and the question, but really? Now? 20 minutes ago, he'd shown up with no warning at 10 o'clock on a weekday. He'd asked if Dean was around, and when she'd said he was working from home, Lucas had started kissing her, seriously kissing her, until she had no choice but to respond, then melt, then try not to squee as he led her into her bedroom. The sex had been hot and fast and incredibly satisfying. Afterward, as she did her best to catch her breath, he wanted to talk about her soon-to-be renter. "You need to work on your post-coital chit-chat," she told him. He rolled onto his side, supported his head with his hand, and grinned at her.
"I would have thought $3,000 a month in rent money would be pretty sexy."
God, he looked good, all tanned and chiseled and manly. She was still flush from her orgasm and feeling more than a little naughty, not to mention confused. Not that she didn't appreciate the unexpected delight, but what exactly was going on? "I have to get up," she told him, thinking that any conversation that wasn't take me hard should occur while she was dressed. "Close your eyes."
"Why?"
"Because I'm not sufficiently skilled at draping to get from here to the bathroom without showing something."
"I've seen you naked."
"You've seen me naked and lying down. There's a difference." Was he being dense on purpose? "I'm not 22. He leaned over her, lightly kissing her, then staring intently into her eyes.
"You have to let the age thing go."
"You first." He grinned.
"Point taken."
He flopped onto his back and closed his eyes.
"Better?"
She grabbed her clothes and ran rather than answer. After tidying up, she dressed and returned to the bedroom where Lucas had pulled on his clothes. They stared at each other across the must bed. "What are we doing?" she asked. She thought he might tease her with a silly answer, but instead he said,
"I haven't got a clue, but I like it. How about you?"
"I like it, too," she admitted. "But I'm nervous. You're used to dating girls named Bambi and Thumper. That's not me."
"I've never dated a girl named Thumper, but I get your point. You want to know where this is going. What are my expectations, which is completely fair. Can I ask what you'd like them to be?"
She held up both hands. "No way, you first.
You're the scary one. I'm conventional.
I like you, he said, meeting her gaze. I'd like to continue spending time with you.
Including sex?
He grinned. Including sex.
So dating-ish?
Dating-ish works.
One corner of his mouth turned up.
Now tell me the rules.
Because there would be rules, she thought. There would have to be. Becca can't know. She's dealing with a lot, and I don't want to upset her. Plus, you're here all the time already, so it's not like that will be different.
Agreed.
She hesitated, then told herself to just say it. Blurt it out and deal with any consequences. Because if Lucas said no, she would be smart to walk away. I want exclusivity. I'm not expecting this to be much more than a fun short-term thing, but you don't get to cheat. When you're done and ready to move on, say you're done. No showing up at my house with one of your women.
I wouldn't do that.
She put her hands on her hips. Was that agreement?
Assuming I'm the one who ends things.
Oh, please. Lunch meat has a longer shelf life than your relationships. She paused. I mean that in a nicer way than it came out.
Good to know. As I was saying, assuming I'm the one to end things, I promised to tell you and not simply show up with one of my women.
Holy crap. They were doing this. They were figuring out a semi-relationship. Was she ready? Was she sure? There were 1,000 other questions, but Harper realized they didn't matter. She liked Lucas, and she really liked having sex with him. She was going to go for it and figure out the rest of it later. Terence had always told her she needed to be more spontaneous. For once, she was going to listen to her ex. Then we're good, she said, glancing at the clock. What time do you have to be back in court?
I've got a couple of hours.
Want to get an early lunch? He pulled her close.
Not really.
There's a delivery for you in the conference room, Lexi said. Stacy looked up from the report she'd been reading. It took her a second to return to the ordinary world, and to be honest, she found it disappointing. There was so much exciting research being done all over the world. Keeping track of it was nearly impossible, and her reading time was precious, something Lexi knew, which meant she wouldn't interrupt without a good reason. A delivery? Stacy asked as she came to her feet. What kind? I'm not sure. Reception called and asked you to go check it out. That's incredibly odd. Stacy went down the hall and pushed open the conference room door. The space was pitch black, and it took a second for her to realize she had to turn on the light to see anything. As soon as she did, over 12 people yelled, "Surprise!" There were welcome baby banners taped to the wall, piles of presents and trays of food on the table. Even more startling, Kit was there, along with Harper and Bunny, Carl, Max, her team, and some of their spouses. While she realized that she was being given a baby shower, she mostly couldn't believe it was happening. I know, Lexi said as she ushered Stacy into the room. I should have asked, but you would have said no. You're always the one telling me to seek forgiveness, not permission. I'm just taking your advice. Kit came over and hugged her, as did Bunny and Harper. Stacy greeted all her co-workers and their significant others. She was confident she said and did the right things, all the while having the sense of an out-of-body experience. She was observing rather than participating. I was so happy when Lexi called, her sister told her. I'd been thinking about throwing you a shower, but I knew you wouldn't want one. This way it's happening, and you're not mad at me. Stacy smiled at what she was sure was supposed to be a joke, then turned as Max introduced a pretty blonde woman.
This is my wife, Karen. Karen, Stacy Bloom.
Karen shook her hand. I'm so excited to meet you. Max talks about you all the time. You are the most together person I've ever met. I really admire how you've balanced your career and a relationship. She glanced over her shoulder, then lowered her voice. Is your husband actually going to stay home with a baby? Yes. More and more fathers are staying at home. Karen smiled. You're so brave. I would never trust Max with our kids. For a few hours, sure, but not long term. Who knows what kind of trouble he would get in, and what he would teach them. She laughed as she spoke, as if telling a joke, but Stacy knew she wasn't kidding. Kit's very excited about staying home with the baby, she said, wishing someone would come and interrupt them. If you say so,
Karen laughed. Bunny walked up. "This is nice," she said, shaking hands with Karen, then turning to Stacy. "Maybe later you can show me around the lab."
"Are you sure?" Stacy asked, before she could stop herself. "It's fairly scientific."
Her mother sniffed. "Are you saying I'm not smart enough to understand?"
Karen excused herself and quickly walked away. "No, of course not. I would be pleased to show you my work if you think you'd be interested."
"You're my daughter. Why wouldn't I be interested?"
Stacy felt as if she'd stepped into a bunny-created minefield, and no matter where she stepped, she was going to get it wrong. Thankfully, Harper appeared. "I'll keep track of the presents," she said, as she snagged a small sandwich from a nearby tray. "Make a note of who gave it to you and what it is. Also pass me the cards and the gifts, so I can keep everything together." Stacy eyed the stack of presents and wished she were anywhere but here. Even that horrible birthing class had been less stressful. "And that is so," she began.
"You can write your thank you notes," her mother said, sounding scandalized that Stacy would have to ask.
"You have to get them out by this time next week, although within 48 hours is better." Because she had nothing else to do with her day? But Stacy knew better than to say anything like that. She and her mother were finally speaking. She didn't want that to change. Despite their differences, Bunny was family, and Stacy needed her in her life. Lexi clapped her hands and got everyone's attention. "All right, let's get started with the game," she said, and had the group find seats at the table. She picked up 2 large grocery bags and turned them upside down in the center of the table. Dozens and dozens of small socks spilled out. Some were obviously for babies, and others were for toddlers. Lexi held up her phone. "You have 3 minutes. Whoever matches the most pairs of socks wins. Go!" Stacy watched in amazement as everyone else dived into the pile. There was plenty of laughter and groans as people tried to put the socks into pairs.
"Those don't go," Bunny told Carl. "That's a sheep and that's a cow. They're not the same thing."
"Close enough,"
Carl muttered good-naturedly before splitting the pair he'd made and digging into the huge mound. Kit rapidly sorted socks. When he saw Stacy looking at him, he winked.
"I hope there's a prize," he told her. "I feel lucky."
Stacy snagged a few socks and realized right away they didn't match. As the pile diminished, she had an easier time collecting pairs, but before she had more than 4, Lexi called time. Kit won with 12 pairs. Sure enough, there was a prize of a $10 Starbucks card. Max rubbed his hands together.
"Now that I know we're playing for real money, I'm going to try harder."
Karen smiled at Stacy. "He's so competitive. I have to admit, at first I worried about him working with a woman, but you've really mellowed him."
"I'm not mellow," Max protested. "I'm still a tough guy."
"Of course you are," his wife told him. Stacy's sense of being out of sync with everyone only increased. She had very little to do with Max on a daily basis. How could she have had any effect on his personality? They played another game where they had to guess the contents of a sealed brown paper lunch bag by feel alone. The items were all baby-oriented, but some were still difficult to discern. Harper and Bunny tied for the Starbucks card, which Harper offered to her mother. While everyone else ate, Stacy and Kit opened their gifts. She tried to get him to open all of them, but he insisted they alternate. There were onesies, bibs, little knit hats, a thermometer, boxes of diapers, sheets that coordinated with what they'd already bought, baby wipes, pacifiers, bath sets, lotions, stuffed animals, and clothes. Stacy held up tiny tights and shirts, frilly dresses and pink shoes with bows. Everything was so delicate and girly, but more than that, it was small. She knew that jewel would likely be less than 10 pounds when she was born, and that her body would be proportional to her weight. But still, the physical manifestation of the abstract that was the baby growing inside of her was not comfortable. She'd always feared she would be a terrible mother, that she would never bond with her child and always see her as an intrusion. And now that feeling grew. Resignation joined terror as she looked at the smiling faces of the people watching her. Bunny was obviously thrilled, Harper was relaxed, and Kit? Well, Kit looked as if he'd finally been given everything he'd ever wanted. He fingered the dresses, the shoes, the stuffed animals, and announced that he couldn't wait to be a father, that it was going to be the greatest experience of his life. Lexi teared up at his words, while Max put his arm around Karen.